was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, Say it with me, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God is good, and all the time, yes, he really is. Psalm 100, verse 5, For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. God is really, really good. He's abundant in goodness, as he told Moses in Exodus 34. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your love. It's an individual love you have for us. Thank you, dear God, for caring so much that you were willing to lose Christ in order to be with us. It's a concept, Father, we'll take all eternity to try to understand. But we thank you for it. We thank you for his sacrifice, his sinless life, his voluntary death, his tremendous resurrection, and his present position as our intercessor at your right hand. We ask you, dear God, to be with us now in the person of your Spirit. Father, I'm human. I am dirt, I'm dust, I'm clay. So I ask you to use me as a craftsman uses a tool. Put your words in my mouth, dear God. Help me to speak boldly and with compassion. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice, everyone listening via the internet, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The subject of this little talk is a personal God. What did I say? A personal God. Go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. The first gospel. Matthew chapter 11. We'll read from the King James Version of the Bible. We'll read from verse 28 of Matthew 11. When you found it, say amen. If you don't mind, read with me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Keep reading. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Keep reading. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We'll go over that microscopically. Come, what's that? Invitation. It's an invitation. From whom? From God. Jesus is divine. This is an invitation from God. And he tells us, come unto me. He didn't say first, come to a church. Even though he has a church, and that church can be identified. But you enter the church through him. Some people try to enter Christ through the church. Mm-mm. You enter the church through Christ. You come to him. There are many Christians who are connected to the church but not converted to Christ. So they are church members but not Christians. And so Jesus says, come unto me. But go to John 6:44. Let me show you something. Come unto me, he says in Matthew 11:28. Go to John 6:44. We go from Matthew to John. And remember, we have a presentation at 5. I don't recall who's giving it, but someone is. Brother Lawrence. All right, at 5 o'clock. So please stay for that. And the canvases and Brother Lawrence. All right. And then I come back at 6. And you know mine at 6 would be short because people can only take so much. Are you with me? Don't overfeed people anything, good or bad. All right. John 6, verse 44. What does that say? No man, come on, can come unto me except the Father which have sent me draw him. Raise him up at the last day. So Jesus says, no one can come to me except the Father draws him. But then Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me. And he also says, no one can come to me except the Father draws him. Now, go to Revelation 3, let's read verse 20. Revelation 3, verse 20. Revelation. Always remember the title of the book when you prepare to study that book. It is not concealment, it is called Revelation. Revelation 3, verse 20, read with me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, where is Jesus in that verse? Outside where? The door of what? Our hearts. But where did Jesus come from? Where did he come from? Heaven. That's a long distance to travel. Are you with me? He has come right to the door of our hearts. So when he says to us, come unto me, he can say that because the distance we have to travel is almost nothing. Am I talking to myself? He has come the long distance and he is standing right on the mat, but he can't come in because he needs permission. So when Jesus says, come unto me, we need to understand is the smallest step you can take. He's right. The only thing separating you from God is a door. So all you and I have to do is open the door by surrender of the life to him. He said, come to me. That's personal. And what's the title of my talk? A personal God. God is extremely personal. Go to Exodus 19. Exodus 19. We read from verse 4. This is God speaking to Moses. Exodus 19, reading from verse 4. When you found it, say amen. All right. Is anyone still looking? Exodus 19:4. Read with me. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, finish the verse, and brought you unto myself. That's personal. I brought you unto myself. I didn't just bring you out and tell you run away. No, I brought you to me. Verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure, come on, unto me, keep reading, above all people, for all the earth is mine. You will be special to me above everybody else. Are some people closer to God than others? Yes. Question 4, you don't answer me. How close are you to God? And if you're not close, what's keeping you when God himself said, come? My brothers and sisters, go to Leviticus 20. Read another powerful verse. Leviticus 20. There's one word you can use to describe Leviticus. That word is holiness. Leviticus 20, we'll read verse 26. Are you there? All right, some of you haven't found it. Or maybe you're writing the verse first, then you'll go to Leviticus. I understand. Okay, that's fine, that's fine. All right, are we at Leviticus 20:26? Read with me, what does it say? And ye shall be holy unto me. Stop. Now that's personal. Ye shall be holy unto me. Keep reading. For I have, am holy, yes, and have severed you from other people, why? That ye should be mine. What does the word sever mean? To cut off. God said, in order for you to be mine, what has to happen? You got to be cut off from the rest of everybody else. Now, a lot of Christians have this modern theology that you can hold Jesus in one hand and the world in the other and then juggle. That's not going to work. It'll never work. It never has. The only way to have a personal relationship with Christ is to be cut off completely. Let me tell you something that may concern you. All the devil needs to destroy your life is 1% of your life. That's all. But to save you, God needs 100% of your life. God cannot save a man who is 99% surrendered. Because the question arises, who has the 1%? The devil doesn't mind sharing your heart with God. He doesn't mind. Because he knows once he has a toehold, that's all he needs. But God does not cohabit with the devil. You must be his entirely or you're not his at all. If that's clear, say amen. And so ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. Which means that what God wants with us is a personal relationship. Are you with me? Which has nothing, really, well, I shouldn't say nothing, which is not first and foremost connected to the church. Because in the days ahead of us, the church will collapse. And what will you do? You can't find a pastor. There are no more church boards. People are hiding and running. What do you do? A relationship with God is first individual. I told you the first week I came that when God made Adam, Eve did not exist. And when God made Eve, Adam was where? In a deep sleep. God deliberately took him out of the picture because that had nothing to do with him. Even though she was being made for him, but that had nothing to do with him. In order for her to be the best wife to him, she first had to have what? A relationship with God. And he the same thing. Then God brought two individuals together who first had a one-to-one relationship with him. If that's clear, say amen. Then the question there, how do I maintain a one-to-one relationship with God? It's very simple. The two major components are prayer and study of the Word. Are you with me? Prayer and study of the Word. As you do that, your mind will change. Here's how it changes. It will, if you fill hot air balloons. What causes it to rise? Yes. As it fills with this air or this gas, it starts to do what? It leaves the earth. Now, as you pray and study, you become more and more filled with God's Spirit. You move like a hot air, you start rising off this earth. Are you following me? A distance between you and there, you rise higher and higher, and the world loses its appeal. I mean, literally loses its appeal. And you wonder, why did I waste so many years getting depressed when the Dallas Cowboys lost? Or the Temple Hills Trojans or whatever. They lost. I got depressed and I would bet money. Now this thing does not appeal to me at all. Because of a one-to-one relationship with God. And that relationship, it just removes the attractions of the world. Now, prayer and study. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. That is literal. It is not from Revelation or Daniel. It's not symbolic. It is literal. Now, it is something we have to practice. You can practice praying all day. I didn't say practice kneeling all day. You can practice praying all day by talking to God about everything. I mean every single thing under the sun. A young person wrote me from Namibia and asking questions all the time about the Bible. And the person said to me, I am just amazed at how you always make spiritual connections with everything I say. I said, you can do the same thing. Start developing the habit of making spiritual connections. For example, You go down, you drive through Michigan and Maryland, you see roadkill, am I right? Dead. What comes to mind? Huh? The what? Okay, sorry, but what comes to mind? Make a spiritual connection. Sin. Sin. Mm-hmm. If Adam hadn't sinned, that animal could never die. Something else comes to mind. Some people suffer because of what other people do. You look for a spiritual connection. You'll be amazed. There's a spiritual connection for everything. Driving, Brother Bliss and I were coming from church last night. A couple of ambulances, whatever, fire truck. There's a big accident on those going this way. What's a spiritual connection? Well, sin, yes. What else? But you see three ambulances, what can you do? You pray for the person who's injured. Are you following me? Mm-hmm. You start praying immediately, Father, be merciful to the person for whom that ambulance has come. The person may need the jaws of life to cut him or her out of the car. You pray. Why? Because we are put on this earth to be a savor of life unto life. So now praying becomes automatic behavior. You're driving. Someone's last night, again, Brother Bliss, this motorcycle passed us. The guy must have been doing 2,000 miles per second. We heard, boom, the guy was gone. I said, Lord, protect that man. Now, he may be going to sell dope. I'm not asking you to bless his mission. I said, protect his life. Are you following me? Protect his life. I'm asking you to bless his mission. Protect his life. So he may come to know you. You're walking down the street. You see a police car. Make a spiritual connection. Well, don't take so long. What's that? The law. Mm-hmm. He's a law enforcement officer. The law. What else? What's the fundamental problem in the world? Sin. Will there be policemen in heaven? No. With guns? No. No policemen in heaven. No soldiers. No NSA. No. You don't need them. You see a bird. Make a spiritual connection. They were made on what day? Okay, we'll have wings one day. All right, very nice. They're made on the fifth day. You think of that. You look at that bird. That's an expression of God's power. And Jesus said, behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. You look at that bird. You say, brother bird, you have nothing on me. Because I was made in his image, not you. But if he takes care of you, he surely has to do what? Take care of me. You're walking down the street, you see a car. Make a spiritual connection. Okay, knowledge will increase. Yeah, they had no cars of the days of Abraham. Knowledge has increased. These fancy cars now, you need a PhD to drive them. Make another spiritual connection. Will there be cars in the new world? No. Why do we need cars? Because of sin. Because of sin. When the new world is made, we travel like angels. Angels don't come to earth driving a car. We travel like angels. You don't need a car. Anything you see, you consciously make what? A spirit. In that way, your mind is always where? In heaven. That is praying. Because you're talking to God. Wherever you turn, you see people. Make a spiritual connection. Am my brother's keeper? Mm-hmm. Make another one. A soul for the king. Is that person saved? But you don't know it, you pray. Make another connection. Jesus, Christ what? Christ died for him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Say that again. All kinds of spirits. spiritual connections you make so that your mind, you're actually looking at the earth from above. Are you following me? You're looking down at the earth. And you talk to God. You get on a plane. The moment you sit down, there's someone next to you. Father, bless that man or that woman. If they don't know Christ, bring the truth to them. Make this a literal prayer. It takes you out of yourself. Are you with me? One of the best ways to ease your suffering is to go focus on somebody else's suffering. Let something else distract you. There are people who have been shot. They didn't know. Are you listening to me? They were distracted by something else and they didn't know. There are people in accidents broke their legs. They didn't know until they tried to walk. Because the terror of the thing, they did not feel it. They were distracted by something else. What I'm saying to you, let's be distracted from the world by keeping the mind in heaven. Jesus was hungry but didn't feel it. John 4, he was distracted by trying to save the woman at the well. In everything, we make a spiritual connection. And you talk to God, Father. Let me ask you this. Is there someone right now being abused somewhere in the world? Yes. Right now, is a man beating his wife somewhere in the world? Yes. Is there some little boy being sodomized by some pedo? Yes. Some underage girl being abused? Yes, right now. Then we always have reason to pray. You have children. You pray for children all over the world. Right now, there's an enemy soldier captured by the government soldier. He's about to be tortured. Or vice versa. Right now, there's a little child about to lose his mother to AIDS. We have reason to pray. There are people all over the world in prison, and they're innocent. They're innocent. God is the God of freedom. We pray for them. There's a prayer also every day, during the day. Father, under every heading of human suffering, deliver somebody right now. I tell God this is not a command. I'm just being specific. No one who's suffering wants to wait. So my prayer every day, Father, under every heading of human suffering, deliver some people right now, beginning with members of the household of faith. Pray without ceasing. How many of you drive cars? When you get into your car, don't turn on the music. Start praying. Some of us drive hours. I mean, it's a reflexive, we get in, bah, pump that button, up comes the music. Now, music is fine, maybe, you know, how great thou art, a mighty fortress, but it's not prayer. The time you drive your car wherever you go, it's an opportunity, just you and God talk. I mean talk. Recite scripture. Take a verse, think about it. Do something with that time that is spiritual. I was in a certain country, spent a week with a very nice family. And a husband and I, he'd take me back and forth. When I get into the car, I'd ask him, would you kindly turn the music off if you don't mind? He said, fine. I turned it off. And I do two things. The moment I sit in the car, I start praying or I start reciting Bible verses. Now, I'm not saying I'm a holy. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you what I do. And then he noticed I'm always asking him to turn off the music. He wants to know. I said to him, I believe you're wondering why I always ask you. He said, yes. I said, well, I'm either praying or reciting scripture unless you tell me something. Other than that, my mind, he said, oh. Then he decided, from that point on, every time he got in this car, he's not turning the music on, he's going to pray to God. Now, that's praying. You take the Bible. And you read it, you meditate on it, you study it as much as you can. Now, I'm not saying don't do your work. Yes, do your work. But regardless of the work you do, Ellen White says the best preparation for any profession is the knowledge of God's Word. Let me say it again. The best preparation For any profession is a knowledge of God's word. Let's say you're a student in school. Anyone in college? No one in college? No one in college. University? Who has gone to college? Ah, there goes a forest of hands. Okay. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom too. Knowledge, Proverbs 1:7, wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. Now, you've come to college to get what? Knowledge. Then instead of trying to get a grade, start looking for God. So you're studying neuroscience. You're looking for God. Now, the grade will come because God wants you to work hard. But you're saying to yourself, look, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The whole earth, Isaiah 6:3, is full of His glory. Then as you study biology and accounting and zoology and archaeology, you are on a mission to find some evidence of God. It makes a difference in your motivation for studying. And when God knows He's being looked for, He makes Himself known. So that a student is in an excellent position to think of God all day long. Now, those of you who work, what kinds of work do you do? Someone volunteer and tell me. Rescue of? People and animals. Okay. Well, that's salvation in a very... you're saving people and animals. Okay. You're doing what Jesus does. Someone else, what do you do? Dental hygienist. When did God make man? On the sixth day. What was his diet? What's one of the major reasons for all the cavities in the United States? The nutrition, the things we eat. So you keep this in mind and you minister to the people whose teeth you clean. And as you scrub and sandblast, whatever you do, you let them know, listen, you need to change your diet. And save your choppers. What else do you do? Construction. Did God tell Noah to build an ark? Is Jesus building a city for us? That's construction. And you make the spirit. Now you say to yourself, let me work as a construction worker the way Jesus worked in building that city. I go to prepare a place for you. He instructed Noah in the building of the ark. God is a builder. Says, am I working as faithfully as Ellen White said, Jesus was as perfect in character as He was as a workman. So when He made a table, He made it so well, you couldn't find one mistake with His table. Because He was a carpenter. Are you following me? Construction, build something that God can smile upon. What else do you do? In what? Investor reporting. Investments. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure where? In heaven. That's investing. No, let me get my sister here. Oh, you have the highest job. Think of Mary. Who do you think caught Jesus in his early years? Mary on her lap. God bless you. We live in a world where homemaker is regarded as a lazy woman. No. That's the highest work you can do. I thank God for my mother. She never worked until her youngest child was 22. And I thank her for that, my brother. Director of safety. Safety means to keep you out of danger. Are they not all ministering servants? Sent forth to ministers to those who shall be heirs of salvation. Psalm 34:8, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What did God tell Jeremiah? I have this day made thee a defense city, an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land. I have defended you. What else do you do? Yes. Oh, well, that's the work of God. And He sent her forth, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 7 and 8. Anybody else? You're what? Cyber security. All right, cyber security. Now, that sounds like the work of the enemy, yes. The devil comes in ways that we find difficult to comprehend and even to detect because he is so sly. And so the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. So we need to find God's ways because God's ways are always right. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So we need to be able to tell, is this a genuine program or is this malware or whatever you call it? And the only thing that can teach us the difference is this. This is the manual. Nothing else. What am I trying to say? In everything, make a spiritual connection. Every opportunity you get, pray. You walk into the house. I was talking to some young men. See, when you go to the gym, I like to go to the gym. Let's say you go on a machine, you do some lat pull downs. You do a set, 12, you stop, you're out of breath. You're wasting time. Instead of, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And do something beside. Are you with me? Recite a passage. I'm serious. What you do, you take a chapter like Revelation 15, 8 verses, and you recite it at a leisurely pace, and you time it. This takes 45 seconds. And when I do a set, I need to rest 60 or 90 seconds. Then you time it, you get that as you're resting. You either say it out loud or you say it in your mind. You do something spiritual as you're recovering physically. Because there are all kinds of women in the gym not properly dressed. Am I right? Mm-hmm. So recite some scripture. Are you following me? All right. So yeah, I said, recite. You're in the bank. You're waiting, you're in line. Pray. Because all your fussing and cussing won't move that line. You're stuck in traffic. Recite scripture. Banging on your horn may only get someone to practice road rage. Are you following me? Read some scripture, pray, talk to God. I have some friends. You may be listening now if this is being streamed. A very precious friend. A very lovely family. Father, mother, all of them lovely people. And I told the wife, when you're stuck in traffic, pray or recite the Bible. She wrote me 2 days ago. She was just trying to finish memorizing John 16. So she was going over it all the time. Pray or recite scripture. You're stuck in traffic. What is she going to do? If you get all crazy, you injure yourself. Pray. Don't you sit in the wheel and do that for 45 minutes. Do something else up here. Why? All in the interest of a personal relationship with God. That is what saves us. A personal relationship with God. I think I'm a nice man most of the time. But I like to go off by myself. You can't always be with people. No matter how sweet they are. You have to go off by yourself. Just you and God. But some people are afraid to be with God. So they're always with people. And will not go off wherever in your house where, and just be with God. Jesus did that all the time. Enoch did that. He would go off with God. You know, a friend, a preacher made me laugh once. He was talking about Enoch who would walk with God. And he'd go off into the wilderness, Elohim said, for months just to be with God. And he told his wife, he said, honey, I'm going to walk this morning. If I don't come back, don't worry. God has taken me. Don't worry if I don't come back. But find time. When I say just you and God, that's what I mean. I didn't say you, God, and your wife. There's a time for that. But there's no substitute for you and God and who else? Nobody. Prayer. The Word of God. That's how we walk with God. It is that walk, my friends, that will take us right through the pearly gates. Religion is a relationship with a person. Jesus is a person. Jesus is also God. He is God, so he has the power. He's man, he understands. Most of our friends understand they can't do anything for us. Jesus understands and he can do something. And so I'm urging you as your friend, your brother in Christ, develop the habit. It may look difficult at first, but Ellen White writes in the book Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 2, page 601, paragraph 4, that which at first seems difficult, by constant repetition grows easy, and right thoughts and actions become habitual. The same way we have bad habits, we can develop good habits, and both habits are difficult to break. So start developing the habit of talking to God, studying God's Word. Let me also urge you, you may say, this is impossible. It's not. Try to memorize some Bible verses so you have them, not only in trouble, but you have them just to use them to talk with God. Try to memorize some Bible verses. Now, don't say you're too old. The only person who should not memorize Bible verses is a dead person. Anybody else, you should make an effort. Because if you can remember two words, you can remember three. All of you know your telephone numbers. You memorize them. You know how to get from this place to your house. Every left turn, every right turn, you memorize the map. I think I told somebody that this week. We're always using our memory. You memorize the faces. And so you simply put that memory power to put in God's Word in your mind, and you start small. Some small verses. Jesus wept. John 11:35. Yeah, Jesus wept too. You see how you got that verse just like that. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. That's simple. It's a sentence, but it's not difficult. But you ask God to help you. You see, we're Seventh-day Adventists. And the commandment for which we're best known is which one? What's the first word in the fourth commandment? Remember. Now, is a commandment a commandment? Then are we commanded to remember? How do you remember? What do you have to use? Your memory. God can't command you to do something if he knows you can't do it. So we are commanded to remember. The word remember is big in the first five books, particularly Deuteronomy and those other books. Because God tells it, remember this, remember that. Because when you remember, it has a way of strengthening you. And so I urge you, my brother asked me to say how I got on the path of memorizing. It's very simple. When I became a Seventh-day Adventist as a little boy, I was a Catholic. My mother heard about the Adventists and took us into the church. The church had a practice, you had to memorize a verse every day. Especially the young people. It was called the Morning Watch. And the conference would issue little books with all the verses for the year. They don't do that now. And so we would memorize the verse. You're at home, you have to memorize this verse, just like your homework for school. And on Sabbath afternoons for the young people's program, which we used to call MV, which is now AY, you would stand up and recite your verses. Everybody stood, recited, and then we went over the program. It was just normal life. Nothing strange. Today, you don't see that anywhere. The church has changed drastically. And so that habit stuck with me. But there was also an elder in my church called Elder Payne. He'd been sick 12 years, I understand. Most of that time he was bedridden. And all he read was the Bible. So when the Lord raised him up, that's all he had in his head. And that man would preach his Bible open, but he never looked down. And I was a little boy watching him. What do you think I said? I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that. And I was fascinated. How is this guy reciting all these words? He's not looking down. And I said, man, I'd like to do that. And plus the habit of a verse a week. And so the thing stuck with me. The Lord gave me a little talent, and that you have to use it. And so here I am. And so I say to God, Father, I hope there's a little boy somewhere who looks at me and says what? I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that. So my history of memorizing is a result of the influence of that man. He's dead many years now. Maybe 40 years he's been dead. And he never knew the impact he had on me. I'll tell him in the resurrection. That man's influence, and of course, the lifestyle that was provided by the church for the youth. You had to memorize. There was no discussion. And we took it very seriously. There were some young people much better than I. Some girls, I can think of them now. Oh, they were. But, as I said, that's no longer in the church. But I urge people wherever I go, try to memorize. I was at a singles conference in South Africa in August. And this young lady, I said to her, why don't you try memorizing? Very nice little young lady, child of God, very serious about God. She said, okay. So I'd send WhatsApp messages reminding, come on, memorize. Have you memorized today? Did you recite? And last week she said, I just finished John 14. I am so excited. I can't believe it. Now she's on John 15. The sense of accomplishment. There's a young man, nice fellow. He came to a crusade I did in Kenya, actually. And I liked him. He started writing me on the internet before I ever knew him. I don't know how he got my information. Then I met him at the crusade. And he came every night, virtually every night. And then he made a decision to be baptized. He's now a deacon in the church. And I said, listen, man, why don't you try to memorize? He said, okay. About 3 weeks ago, he sent me a voice message reciting John 1:1-14. He's working on John. And he'd gotten the first 14 verses. So he sent me the recording. I was so happy to receive that. So I urge and encourage, but I force no one. I can't do that. One way to get close to God is to keep His word in your mind. You see, the devil attacks the mind. And the only thing the devil respects is the word of God. A young lady came to me, certain country, she said, I am bothered by evil spirits. They harass me at night, they molest me, and they do these things to me. I haven't slept in months. So I gave her the Bible. I gave her 1 John chapter 1, 1 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, finish the verse, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I told her, take that verse, read it, memorize it if you can, quickly. Say it when you go to bed at night, or during the day, think about it, but at night, say it, meditate, dwell on, fall asleep thinking of that verse. The part particularly that says, for this cause the Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy the works. She came to me the next day. She said, Pastor, I have slept the first time in months. And that's not the only story I've heard about people harassed by the enemy, and I gave them God's word. This is your power. If you're tempted to steal, you say, it is written, what? Thou shalt not steal. And you believe that power is working as you remove yourself from the circumstance and let the power in that word keep you from thou shalt not steal. It's as powerful as let there be light and there was light. Thou shalt not steal will produce no stealing if you yield to the power of that word. Someone gets you angry. He that ruleth his spirit is better than he that taketh a city, Proverbs 16:32. And you say that. And let the power of that verse calm you down. You're nervous about something. You say, Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, and you accept that as a statement of power. But you add that to a great peace of they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You add that to John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The peace of God is different from the peace of the world. If you ever watch a television program, every time they're upset, they take a drink or smoke a cigarette. Are you with me? You don't see anyone pray. No TV shows. You're upset, you take a drink. You're upset, you smoke a cigarette. I need a cigarette, need a drink. But a child of God, I go to God's Word. Are you following me? And so I urge you to develop a personal relationship with God. Through the Spirit, your Savior is right with you. Better than that, He's in you. When Christ walked the earth with the disciples, where was Christ? Right there with them. Now, where is Christ? Not just with us. Where is He? He is in us. He was not in the disciples. He was with them. Listen to me carefully. Because of the Spirit's ministry, Christ is closer to us than He was to the disciples with whom He walked the earth. Because He was not in them. He was with them. Through the Spirit, He is in us. Now that is personal. So when you pray with the consciousness, you see how you're looking at me and I'm talking to you? You talk to God. Through Christ. The Spirit represents the Father and the Son. Listen to John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode in him. So it's not just Christ. When the Spirit comes, you have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Dwelling right here. One to one. God is a personal God. He wants a personal relationship. And I'll close with this text from Joshua 24:15. He says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of the Amorites, whether the gods which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen to that microscopically. As for me, who is that? The individual. And my house, what's that? The group. What Joshua is saying, that in his family, he's an individual. Because if his family no longer serves God, finish my word, he would serve God. So he says, as for me and my house. He could have said, as for my house, that would have automatically included him. No, he said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You have to make up your mind. If your husband doesn't serve the Lord, you will serve the Lord. If your children leave God, you will not leave God. If the church apostatizes, you will stay faithful. If the conference goes down, you will stay faithful. Because your relationship was not built by the conference or the church. It's one to one. Yes, your heart will be broken. You'll be sad. You'll cry. But you will not let go of Jesus because you and He have a one to one relationship. My recommendation to you, my brave friends, is to think of the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose how many? One of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. Notice what he does. He doesn't bring the 99 with him. It's none of their business. He leaves them somewhere and goes off by himself. So when he finds that sheep, it is just the sheep and the shepherd, nobody else. And having found his sheep, reestablished their relationship, then he puts the sheep on the shoulder and then goes back to the flock. God is an listen to me. God deals with us, with you, as if you're the only person for whom Christ died. Let me say it again. The relationship between the believer and God is as distinct as if that person is the only one for whom Jesus died and the only one making a request to God. So you can't be put on hold because you're the only one talking to God as far as God is concerned. I want you to make a commitment. Establish a personal relationship with God. Who will try to do that? Can I see your hand? Prayer and study. Pray without ceasing. Now, I want you to try to memorize some Bible verses. And that's where it gets tricky now. People say, no, I can't do that. But you're wrong. Because I can do all things through Christ. Who will try? Can I see your hand? I recommend the Gospel of John. Start in chapters 14, 15, 16, 17. And some of 13. Chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. You just go on down one verse at a time. Oh, John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And you just go on in John 14 or John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And you take it one verse at a time. This church was built one brick at a time. The longest chapters in the Bible are made up of one verse at a time. Don't just look at the whole chapter and say, oh no, I'll never do this. Ask yourself, can I do verse 1? When you've gotten it, you say, if I did verse 1, surely I can do verse 2. Don't look at the whole 176 verses in Psalm 119. No, don't do that. You'll be discouraged. Just look at verse 1, then verse 2, then verse 3. What does God say? He that is faithful in that which is least, that's verse 1, is faithful also in much. That's the whole chapter. So let me see your hands again. You'll try to memorize something. Can I see your hand? God bless you. Your mind will be strengthened. Nothing strengthens the mind like this. Let me say it again. Nothing strengthens the mind. Ellen White writes, as a means of intellectual training, the Bible is more effective than any other book or all other books combined. Let me say it again. As a means of intellectual training or development, the Bible is more effective than any other book or all other books combined. Here's what she says about Daniel. As in the case of Daniel, in exact proportion as the spiritual character is developed, the intellectual capabilities are increased. Exact proportion, meaning if you make this much progress spiritually, your mind makes that much progress mentally. So a student who lays aside the Bible is making a mistake. Let me pray. Then I'll leave the 5 o'clock person to get ready. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your love. We really do. We thank you for Jesus, who himself is the Word. We thank you, Father, you desire a personal relationship with us, one to one. I ask in the name of Jesus, dear God, put into every heart listening to the words now a desire for a one-to-one relationship with you, taking you by the hand and walking with you, talking with you about everything. Keeping our minds in heaven and from heaven looking down on the earth and seeing the earth through heaven's eyes. Give us a love for your word, dear God. It is the word alone, faith in that word, that will sustain us in these last days of tumult, terror, confusion. Bless my brothers and sisters. Thank you for their love of truth. Bless their families, dear God. A double blessing on their children. Strengthen every family. Grant them the desires of their hearts, dear God. Solve their problems, provide their needs, and make them lighthouses of truth in the communities where they are. Now bless our brother and those with him who speak at five. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.